Thank you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast for PR pros and marketers who work for ourselves. I am Michelle Kane of Voice Matters, and my fabulous co-host Karen Swim of That Solo Life is here with me today. And we are so thrilled to welcome a guest to this episode. It is Dan Farkas. Some of you solo PR pros out there will know the name. And he is a professional wearer of many hats. And that's not quite something you can put on a LinkedIn profile, but it may be the best way to describe Dan. He is a lecturer of strategic communication at Ohio State University, where he teaches courses on research, strategy, content creation, measurement, and analytics, all the good stuff. The BBC and Mashable are some of the media outlets that have featured Dan as a thought leader on the changing landscape of strategic communication and how we can make the most of it. And we'll touch on that in our talk today. Dan is also a business owner who practices the craft when not chasing late homework assignments or his two kids. His campaign efforts have earned recognition from PRSA and the Ohio Society of Association Executives. He helped clients receive media coverage with the Washington Post, HuffPost, and Associated Press. In a former life, Dan earned more than 20 awards for his work in television news. His work has appeared on CNN, MSNBC, and SI.com. His newest endeavor is Pass PR, customized education to help people accelerate their communication skills. And wow, Dan, we are honored that you are joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. You all are awesome, and it's great to be with you all.
Nice. We are so thrilled to welcome you. You know that you're one of our favorites. You always have such great information and such high energy, and we enjoy learning from you.
We do. Oh. We do.
We absolutely. I'll make sure I have some caffeine then. I'll get extra caffeinated okay. And we'll start cooking here. All right.
Okay. Chug away. Yeah.
No pressure.
Well, we know we want to talk about, you know, communication in this new Zoom era and the best way to go about it. But let's first touch on, you know, your current endeavor, Pass PR. You know, could you tell us just a little bit about it and what made you start it?
Oh, goodness. this was developed actually at a PRSA conference about a year and a half ago or whatever, 2 years ago, whenever it happened. So it's been like October of 18. And it was really predicated on this notion of I work with students who are constantly trying to obtain experience in their craft to be ready for some of these entry-level opportunities. And I met with professionals in the agency setting who thought that students didn't have they weren't fully cooked when it was time to get out of the oven, so to speak, right? So you graduate, you get the fancy piece of paper, but do you have the tangible skills to do, you know, a media list and do a recap report and figure out how to get that done in the context of billable hours? And there was just a gap, not an indictment of anyone on either side, but there wasn't really a mechanism to sort of meet in the middle in a way that we could actually assess progress. So you can take a class online very easily. You could pass a multiple choice question or series of questions and get a certificate, but do you actually know how to do it? And especially in writing, and Karen, you know this, you need reps. And so what I decided to do was say, could we do something where we have the online available curriculum, but could we also make people do something and actually have a tangible product? And so this is my way of sort of being able to help nonprofits who need content and help people who need experience in some sort of nurturing, consistent environment where they're getting assessment and feedback and able to build off of that and grow.
That's incredible. So it's really, you know, some people, it's certainly not an internship by any measure. It's really an ongoing education.
That's my hope. And it's also about being diverse in the sense of where are their deficiencies with an individual, regardless of where they are. So maybe I'm a student and for whatever reason, I'm lacking in internal communication. Okay, we'll find you an organization or a nonprofit that needs some internal communication help. Do it for them. So there's some degree of accountability. And then they actually have portfolio content that they can take out of it. And I think it's not just helpful. I think a lot of the people who are going to be involved with this maybe are students who are 1 to 3 years out, and they're not ready for a master's or an MBA, but they know they don't know everything. And I also think there's an opportunity for the person who wants to be an accountant and is like, I kind of want to own my own shop, but I don't know anything about branding. B2B marketing? How do I use MailChimp and think about, sales funnels and drips and all that? This is a way to do it, but also be able to have some consistent coaching so you know you're doing it the right way and you're leaving with something that you can use. It's that tangible result at the end that's more than just some kind of certificate, although I'm sure they'll get a fancy one when I get it designed.
So you could almost say this is not limited to students in the ever-changing landscape of, life and occupations, especially with COVID. It could be someone who's looking for a career pivot or needs to make a change. This is really could be an ideal situation for them.
Yeah. Most of the people that I talk to and are working with, they've already graduated.
Yeah.
And many have been in the field for a long time, but they realize there are skills they wish they would have gotten, and for whatever reason, they didn't get. So it could be somebody who might be a late bloomer, but these are people almost all the time. They have the degree, they have a job, but how do I move forward and be able to make myself more relevant and be able to get to the next gig more quickly? Or it's the accountant or the person who's starting their own business and they know a lot about their craft, but all of this marketing stuff is really new to them. And they're in a position where they need to do it themselves and they're not in a position to hire an agency yet.
That's incredible.
I love this because I feel like it's Dan 3.0.
Yeah.
Or maybe Dan 4.0. Because I feel like this is a marriage of so many of your skill sets. You're a brilliant communication strategist, a great storyteller. You are amazing at video, but you're also such a great teacher. And I know that's you've been able to really hone that skill set, and it comes out in your speaking engagements. I've had the pleasure of seeing you speak live a number of times, and I'm always riveted. You're always the presentation that I'm like, yep, got to put that on my agenda. But this really is, some coaching that would come along with teaching. So I feel like it's Dan 4.0. It was that kind of your goal? Like, how do I take all of these things now and bring them all together? Because you also straddle these worlds. You teach and you also practice, which is got to be challenging.
There's that caffeine point. There we go. My motivation for doing this was really two very different realms. One, and I think we all do this. I think we all in communication face this, where someone needs some help and they don't have the resources to make it work. And there are so many nonprofits who struggle with communication, whether it is internal, keeping their donors aware of their worker efforts, managing volunteers, handling the social media, realizing media opportunities, and they need to be more visible. And it's a barrier. And I interact with a lot of them, and it's hard to help those organizations in many cases because we as practitioners only have so much time in the day. So I saw the need there. And then I also saw the need of so many folks, maybe a year out, or people who have graduated and 6 months after graduation are sending emails about how do they sort of crack the code and break the ice or whatever cliche you want to use. And they're good people, they're smart people, but they just need more seasoning. And maybe 10 years ago, they could have gone for an extra year, grabbed another minor, but in this economic climate, it's not viable. And so how do you help those folks? And I think we all have this moment of, you know what you don't know. And where can I affordably get help in a way that also can help make the world a better place? And it's that sort of tightrope that I'm trying to walk with this.
I love that. Yeah. I know what I don't know every day. Every day.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, in our world, we always need to be learning as well. And like you say, you know, especially, well, both coming out of school and let's say 10 years in, you've had experience in a certain realm of communications. But, you know, you're only one person. So, you know, clearly you're not going to work two agency jobs. That's impossible to learn, you know, different skill sets. And also, honestly, as the PR pros role expands, right, with, you know, integrated marketing and, you know, just doing things beyond media relations, we really need an expanded toolkit to serve our clients well. And I just have to chime in. I love that this concept is about lifting each other up and helping each other, because I think at the heart of most PR pros, it's we are helpers. We are educators. We want people to know the things that do indeed make their lives better.
Yeah. And the challenge I think that we face is in many cases, that ability to find that connective tissue, to be able to offer support, to be able to offer guidance, and the realities of life outside of what's going on in a given profession. And so I the thing that I work on and that I am probably OCD over is this idea of efficiency. And that if I'm working on a project or I'm working on a task, can I get as much out of it as humanly possible? And my hope with past PR is this ability to make sure that, okay, you can grow. You can hopefully be able to help areas that are you are for which you have passion, and that you can be efficient and effective in growing your skill set and be able to connect with other individuals who are like-minded in terms of what they're doing.
You know, I'm curious because you have this world that, you know, has so many different touch points. What are some of the insights that you've gained in all of these different places that you play that would be surprising or that have that would cause us to reflect on the PR profession in a different way?
Oh, that's good. That's a good question. That's a professional question.
Just going deep. Just going deep.
Here's what I find fascinating. And I mentioned this in the US. There is this giant moat between communication in the industry and academic research. And it's fascinating because people in the industry are like, the research don't need it. And the research people, in a weird way, are like, I don't need this for my academic whatever. So I'm not going to try to sell or get people interested in these ideas when they don't seem very interested. There's this weird chasm. And it's, to be brutally honest, really dumb. In Germany, for example, I had the chance to go to the University of Leipzig about 3 years ago. And they host a summit. So BMW, all the major brands that are in Germany, their corporate comm teams will come to a university for a conference when we got to do those things. And leading researchers in strategic communication would present their findings and try to say, here's how you can actually use this work in your efforts. It's much more aligned and there's much more trust. And the relationship seems better for whatever reason in other parts of the world than maybe in the US. And certainly when you are trickling down into local, regional, smaller shops, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And I find it fascinating because I can use some of that academic information and be able to apply it in professional settings. And certainly the professional work that I'm doing is automatically going into the classroom. I think there can be a lot more of that. We're starting to get there. My hope would be 10, 15 years down the line, it's more harmonious. Because again, it's efficiency. Like, why is a brand, and I'm not anti-Edelman, they could use academic research support to advance their work. And actually, Fred Cook has done partnerships with USC. And so we're getting there. But I think there's a long, long way to go on that. And for times, at times for me, that's a real frustration because I think we could be working better together. And for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to happen.
That is interesting. And yeah, I mean, how can we perhaps cultivate that and help make that happen?
I think it's looking at value and it's being able to realize maybe again, what you're not good at, and where there are places where you could sort of mine that gap. So, something that I saw last year and I thought was fascinating, at the PRSA conference for nonprofits, there was a presentation that involved research work. I think it was at the University of South Carolina. I could be wrong, but they partnered with, a nonprofit state entity and were able to conduct research work that helped guide a PR campaign, but that research work also dovetailed into academic research that was taking place. I think that's a really powerful opportunity. I think PRSA is doing a better job, for example, with its Bateman case study competition, trying to coordinate that with PRSA efforts, and being able to get more involvement there and really think about case studies and how we can take what's happening now to the classroom. And I think that as a starter could lead to more comprehensive efforts. But I say this, this is something I struggle with today. I would love to be able to do a really nice, effective survey for a variety of individuals that I try and serve, and I don't have the time to do it. And honestly, it's not my forte. I know of faculty members who are really good at it and really quick. How can I leverage those individuals to do that in a way where they could also get something published and help with their academic research? I just think we have to think differently and look at resources that can do the job better than we can and say, how do we collaborate?
Absolutely. I'm very intrigued at this point. It's like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it sounds, anything that can help us be better and move the profession along in a better way, especially, to be trite, it's a small world. So, why wouldn't we want to be as good as our counterparts in other parts of the world, right? So with past PR, now that people are interested in it, and honestly, as you were talking about that, I'm thinking, well, past PR kind of fits that bill a little bit.
I hope. It'll be nice. I think my hope for people is to be able to realize that, and we've all done this, right? We've all been in that boat of, you look at the textbook and you immediately sell it the moment you get rid of it. And you're kind of like, done. I really want this to be an experience where you can go back to it and look at it. And when you do that, you're like, oh, okay, this is, if I'm in a pinch, I can go back to this and be able to get something done in a hurry, and be able to make sure that I'm offering the right kind of services. And if nothing else, especially for people entering the profession, just the ability to have a conversation with somebody or to have some type of mentorship that's out there. I found through 10 years of teaching, for every person that's big into PRSSA and other folks, there are a lot of people still kind of looking for mentors or who maybe get lost along the way. Sure. If this can help some of those folks, spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely. So now past PR, if our listeners out there are really intrigued and they say, hey, I went in on this, is this hyper-local to you or is this something?
This is anywhere. So what I've tried to do, and you talked about trends, and I feel like I should mention this. This idea of on-demand, especially for education or any kind of learning or really any kind of internal comm, is a trend that is just exploding. A lot of my students are not able to attend a live class and they can pick up extra hours for work. And if I have a class recording, they'll watch it. Or if I have short videos, they'll watch them. And they're doing fine in the class, but they're not viewing it traditionally. So anyone, anywhere with the internet can sort of watch a short series of videos and then they're going to pass an assessment. So I make sure that they pay attention. And then they got to do it. So you want to learn more about, news release writing and writing media kits? All right, you're going to write a media kit. And then we're going to connect you with somebody and you're going to write a media kit and you actually get to, You get to send the release to the reporter. You get to experience the reporter not returning your email. You get to experience making the phone call, leaving the voicemail, resending the email. And then they're like, oh yeah, I'm finally going to pay attention to you because you're being persistent, but not annoying. And you get that experience. And really that's what it's all about. You know, that I find so many people who need experience and I find so many organizations in need of help. And this is my way of hopefully connecting the dots.
That's fantastic. So yeah. And we'll include it in the show notes, of course, but if someone wants to learn more about Past PR, what's the best way to get in touch with the program or you?
Oh boy, it's going to be tough. If we can, it's pastpr.com. So easy website to remember. I hope at least. And then when you go there, you'll find a contact form and you can contact me. You can find me on LinkedIn, Dan Farkas. I got a fancy new headshot and everything to reflect the new beard. So we've got the COVID beard working. I'm happy to do what I can to try to connect with folks. So, you know, anything we can do to make the world a better place and get better at our job, then, hey, let's go for it.
I love it. You said something that really sort of resonated with me that we may not be able to answer today, but I'd love your take on this. So you mentioned how PRSA is doing a really good job of sort of marrying this, you know, academic research and the professional practitioner. And, you know, a lot of PRSA members, and I am a PRSA member, as are you, come from the organization world. So they're internal, in-house. How do we get that excitement about driving the profession forward and being involved with those initiatives? How do we drive that down to smaller shops or to people who are external and or to people like our audience members who are solos? Because I feel like that sometimes gets lost. Not that they're not incredible professionals who are committed to excellence, but there's a disconnect between us and the profession as a whole.
I have two thoughts of this. There's the sad thought, and then I'm going to do the happy thought. So let's get the sad thought out of the way. The pain point is I need to be able to offer relevant services to my clients in order to survive. And most clients and organizations are thinking, some may not even know the difference between marketing, PR, branding, whatever. Like, they want communication to solve problems or address situations or create opportunity. So I view the academic research as, if we're not providing holistic solutions and thinking differently, there's a sustainability question. I regrettably feel that way. The other side of that coin, let's put on the happy face because happy's more fun, is opportunity. I think any solo practitioner, any small shop, any agency, if they could expand service offerings that are profitable and perhaps find ways to make money while they're asleep, that feels like a win. And the academic research certainly could apply. We're on a podcast. There's no reason PR people can't create podcast content. That's an opportunity. Karen, you've heard me talk about video a few times. That's an opportunity. And I feel that PR people are distinctively positioned to be able to strategically communicate for their organizations. This research can help them further do it in new and innovative ways. And we talk so much about diversity. We have to realize there is a diversity in how we communicate. My kids love emojis. I don't get them. A lot of people have earbuds in and are listening to podcasts when they're on the treadmill. That's fine. We've seen how popular TikTok is becoming, although that scares the heck out of me. But let's meet those diverse needs and be able to have video and audio and traditional communication in a way where we're using research to guide our programming. Because the whole point of research, and we know this, it increases the probability that our ideas are going to work. There's a ton of it out there. And if it's going to make you better at your job and create more revenue opportunities, it's worth exploring. To me, from a business perspective, it seems like some of the lowest hanging fruit for you to be able to grow your service offerings and create new revenue streams.
Got it. That makes sense.
Love it.
Okay.
And, you know, us solos, we're smart enough, you know, we're savvy enough. That's expanding our capabilities is easily done, I think. You know, it's mostly a mindset change and then going after it.
And you're agile enough to do it. That's the other thing. You have that sense of, you don't have to go through 5 or 6 meetings and get a whiteboard out. You know people who can do it. You can create those alignments and strategic partnerships very quickly. And I really believe for organizations, you know, this part of 20 and 21 is a really interesting time for folks to be able to grow if that's a route that they want to take.
Absolutely. So this is a fun question. Is there advice you give now that you never would have imagined giving 10 years ago?
Yes. Spend less time on social media.
Aha.
Now, I will tell you this. Yep. Social media got me my job in teaching. It is the reason that I got my gig. And so I am grateful for that. But again, I'm all about efficiency. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody who's like, you know, man, I didn't spend enough time on Facebook today. And I needed to check my LinkedIn profile 7 more times to see if somebody looked at it. I think time is a precious commodity easily stolen. And you can be more efficient by maybe using social media to listen as opposed to broadcast. And I think that I see so many people who hang their hat on social media as a skill that I wonder how they're going to differentiate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are other things you can do that will help in that area. And 10 years ago, that content creation structure and that strategy is what was getting people gigs.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it does. It all comes back to efficiency.
Billable hours. Gotta love them.
Yeah.
Oh, billable hours.
A lot of efficiency. Also, yeah, you said that, but my reason for telling people to spend less time to be, as you said, use it efficiently. Don't let it take over your life is because, you know, in a lot of ways we now know the ill effects of social media. There are definite benefits professionally and personally, but a little goes a long way. Too much can really result in you being stressed out and, you know, exposed for a prolonged period to a toxic environment.
Definitely.
Someone gave me a really good trick. And I did this and I was fascinated by how it worked. I logged on to Facebook. I went to my wife and said, change the password and you need to remember it, but don't tell me what it is. And she did it. And I could not access my Facebook unless I went to her and then she would open it up and then I could look at it and then psh, done. And I don't think that I missed anything, but I know how much less time I spent just meandering and working for technology instead of letting technology work for me.
Mm-hmm. Love
it. So true. How often have you gone to post for a client and, you know, fell into why did I walk into this room syndrome, right? Because you're dazzled by the shiny. Next thing you thought, oh wait, I'm posting for a client. What am I doing? So good advice, Dan. This whole time together has been amazing. We've loved hearing about past PR, and I think you're already helpful to so many people, and hopefully this will help expand that mission. So we're very grateful that you spent this time with us today.
No, I really appreciate it. Y'all are the best.
So are you, Dan. We really appreciate it. And we'll have to have you back because we're always wanting to hear your take on visual storytelling. And now that we're in this environment where everything is so visual and we're trying to work our way through it, love to get your thoughts on that as well. So we'd love to have you be back and talk about some more stuff with you.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Okay.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you, Dan. And to our listeners out there, please share. If you found value in this, please subscribe. You can find us wherever podcasts are listed. And please also, you know, give us a review. That'll help us get seen and heard and bump us up. And until next time, thanks for listening to That Solo Life.